It's likely that everybody here knows the verse in Ephesians chapter 2, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For by grace are you saved through faith." I want to talk to you this morning about what faith is. And the reason I want to do that is because it can be a life and death matter for some people. Matter of fact, it is a life and death matter that we actually understand what faith really is. Matthew chapter 7 gives us some warning in this regard. Matthew chapter 7, the Lord is talking about a day, a sad day in the future. In verse 21 of Matthew 7, it says these words, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Not everybody, in other words, not everybody that says they have faith really have what the Bible calls faith. And then it goes on to say this, "Many will say to me," verse 22, "in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Lord, we are people of faith." And verse 23, Jesus will say, "Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Wow. That is a frightful portion of Scripture. To think that there are people who believe that they have faith, and they do have faith, but their faith is not the kind of faith that the Bible speaks of. Heard about a little boy that was asking Sunday school class one time, "What is faith?" And he said, "Well, faith is believing something you know ain't so." No, that's not what faith is. That might have been what he thought it was, but that's not what faith is. Really, faith is central to all of our lives. Let me read you this little blurb here. It says, "You go to a doctor whose name you cannot pronounce, whose degrees from medical school you have never verified. He gives you a prescription that you cannot read. You take it to a pharmacist you've never seen." We got a doctor and a pharmacist here. No offense here, guys. "He gives you a chemical compound that you don't understand. You go home and take the pill because of the instructions on the bottle." All of that is faith. You believe in the authenticity and authority of those people that have produced for you that little bit of medicine to help you. That's faith. In John chapter 4, where we're going to go this morning, John chapter 4, there's a beautiful story here that illustrates for us the basic elements of faith. Say it another way. It shows for us, we can look at ourselves and measure or gauge or judge ourselves to see whether or not we have biblical faith. John chapter 4, starting with verse 43. Jesus had just been with the Samaritans, and many of the Samaritans had believed on him. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful time of folks getting saved. And then in verse 43, after 2 days, Jesus departed from there and went to Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. It's kind of like a contrast. Great, great stuff going on in Samaria, but maybe not so much great stuff here. Verse 45, then when Jesus was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went to the feast. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, same place where he'd made turn the water into wine earlier. While he was there, there was a certain nobleman. He was a government official of some sort, could have been a big ruler, could have been somebody lower on the totem pole, but nevertheless, he was an official. And his son was sick at Capernaum. And Capernaum is about 18 miles away. And when this nobleman heard that Jesus was going to come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to Jesus. And he besought him that he would come down and heal his son. For his son was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto this nobleman, actually unto all the people, he said, you guys, all of you, you want signs and wonders. And if you don't, you won't believe. The nobleman wasn't concerned about signs and wonders. He was concerned about his son. The nobleman said to him, sir, come down. If you don't come, my child will die. Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy son liveth. The man believed the word. He had faith in the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and the man went his way. And as he was now going on that 18-mile trek, his servants met him coming from where his son had been. And they said, your son's alive. And so he said, he inquired of them the hour when his son got better. And they said, well, yesterday about the seventh hour, it's in the morning, and the fever just left him. So the father knew that it was the same hour in which Jesus had said to him, thy son liveth. And that man then believed, and everybody in his house, his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Wonderful, wonderful story, and a beautiful picture of what faith is. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What are a couple of the elements? I'm just going to talk about them briefly this morning. What is present in a person's heart when that person has true faith? What is it? What is there? Let's go back through this story just a little bit. Here's a boy that is sick at Capernaum, in verse 47, it says he is at the point of death. Now, you've seen sick people. You've maybe seen people at the point of death. We just returned from watching my sister-in-law die. Only we did not stay the whole time, but we watched her dying. The point of death is different than just being sick. The point of death is different for different people. Some folks just calmly slip out into eternity. Others heave and fight and struggle. This boy, the point of death, not just sick. And it says that his dad came to Jesus and he besought him. You know what that means? That means he asked him and asked him and asked him and asked him and asked him. He kept asking over, please come, please come, please come. You've all had a child when you're trying to get something done. Daddy, 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 daddy. That's what this man was doing. He was over and over and over again. I see some of you, you probably still do it, do you? Some of you teenagers? You know, when you want something, yeah. I'm giving them bad ideas, mom and dad. Asking again and again and again. There was something about that man that had the element in it that was part of what true faith is, and it's the word desperation. He was desperate. There was nothing he could do. And here's what troubles me in a lot of Christendom today. What's Christendom? That's a whole bunch of people in churches, okay? They say that they have faith, but many of the individuals have never really come to a place where they really see themselves as sick unto death as spiritually. I know I'm a sinner, but everybody's a sinner. Talked to a lady in a restaurant years ago down in Kentucky, and I think she was going out on her husband or doing something. I don't remember what it was. And she said, well, nobody's perfect. That lady wasn't desperate. She wasn't desperate. Talked to a fellow on the street one time. He said, everybody ought to have a little place in his heart for Jesus. That fellow's not desperate. Not desperate. There are many folks that say, well, I'm kind of concerned about it, and I want to try to keep the commandments, and so I'm trying my best. Well, they're not desperate yet. They're still interested in doing something on their own to earn salvation. You're all familiar with the story about the two guys that went to the temple to pray. It's in Luke chapter 18. It's only a few pages. Let's go take a look at it. Luke 18. I want you to see this. Luke chapter 18. There are two kinds of faith, and we're going to see it here. Luke chapter 18, starting in verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one was a Pharisee. Really a religious guy, known in the community, well-educated and all the rest of it. The other one was a publican, not a Republican now. This is not a political thing here. A publican. Joe Sixpack. Regular Joe in town. Both of these guys prayed. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. You ever pray with yourself? Maybe you feel like you need to when somebody asks you to lead in prayer and you need to sort of put on a performance of something. Lord, we pray. God, who sits on the circle of the universe. You know, we think we got to perform. So that's what this guy was doing. His prayers were bouncing off the ceiling. He thus prayed with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this publican. He's talking to God. He's not interceding for this guy. He's attacking him in prayer. Because there's the publican over there. And this Pharisee says, I fast twice in the week and I give tithes of all that I possess. Was his prayer exhibiting any kind of desperation? Absolutely not. Nary a mite of desperation was there. None. But the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much of his eyes unto heaven, but he beat his breast. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That is desperation. Now, which one of these two men had faith? Which one? Both of them did. What do you mean, both of them? Look back in verse 9. Jesus spoke a parable concerning people who trusted in themselves. The Pharisee had faith in himself, and the publican had faith in God. Both of them had faith. One of them had the kind of faith that is living. One had the kind of faith that is dead. Some people say they have faith, but they just really consider themselves to be sick, but not sick unto death. Oh, I believe in Jesus, and that's good, but, you know, a whole lot of people in this world worse than I am, that's for sure. So I stand a chance. That's not desperation. That's not understanding that the Bible says that all have sinned, and not only have all sinned, but all fall short of the glory of God. Every single person that walks the face of the earth does not deserve heaven. Every single person that walks the face of the earth deserves hell. We are all guilty before God. And until we see that and understand it, we will not become desperate in the sense that, oh, there's nothing I can do. Lord, help! Desperation has to be there if true faith in Jesus is going to be there. The Bible says for unsaved people, well, you can read it, John chapter 3, verse 36, you're right next door to it. He that believes on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God, it doesn't say the wrath of God will be upon him someday, the wrath of God presently abides on him. The unsaved person is living now on death row. And the wrath of the heavenly judicial court has declared him guilty. Beyond hope. In the book of Acts chapter 2, when the Jews heard the gospel, they were pierced thoroughly in their hearts. And they said to Peter, "What shall we do?" And then Peter told them how to put their trust and faith in Jesus Christ. A person who has the kind of faith that Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 is talking about, for by grace are you saved through faith, is a person that has come to a place of total desperation, like this man came for his son. Like this man in the temple was praying, God, there's no hope for me. No hope for me. But that man who found himself at a point of desperation was the one that left the temple justified, declared righteous by God Almighty, by the highest court of the universe. That's the man that had biblical faith. There's another element that is present when there is what I believe the kind of faith that Ephesians 2 is talking about. Not only just total desperation, but total confidence. And let's go back to our story in John, the book of John, chapter 4. The nobleman said unto Jesus, Daddy, 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 please, 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 please come. My child's going to die. I'm desperate. And Jesus says, go on home. Your son's going to be just fine. And you know what that man did? He just believed. That's what it says right there. That's what faith is. Faith is belief. Faith is trust. Faith is confidence. Everybody in this room came in this morning and you had faith in those pews where you sat, and so you put your weight on them. You had faith in them. You trusted them. You rested yourself in those chairs. This man simply took Jesus at his word. Biblical faith is not just a mental, like, okay, I believe all that stuff. It's not that. It's total confidence. I'm desperate, and Jesus is the only way. When he died on that cross, he paid not for just some of my sins, but for all of them. My total confidence is in him, not in anything that I have done or could do. read a story years ago about a man who was crossing the desert during the days of the pioneers, and he got in some trouble and he was dying of thirst. And he spotted an old shack and there was a water pump there. And if you're familiar with old-fashioned water pumps, you know, if they've not been used in a while, the water that's down in the well that has been in the pipe that brings it up to the surface, the water goes down and there's nothing but air in the pipe. And so you pump and you don't get any water. And so what you have to do is you have to prime the pump. You have to take water and pour it down the pipe until it reaches the bottom. And then you start pumping, and then that water will draw other water up, and you can get all the water you want from the well. Well, there was a note by the well, and there was a jug of water right there. And the note said this, quote, "There is just enough water in this jug to prime the pump, but not enough if you take a drink first. This well has never gone dry, even in the worst of times. Pour the water in the top of the pump and pump the handle quickly. After you've had a drink, refill this jug for the next man who comes along." Now, what would you do with that jug of water? What would a dying man do? To follow the instructions and prime the pump without first drinking would be faith. Total confidence in the word that was placed in that note. Anything less than that would not be total confidence. And here's the issue, folks. Here's the issue. A lot of people say they have faith in Jesus, but it's kind of like an insurance policy where it's an 80-20. Everybody knows that bought insurance, 80-20. The insurance company is supposed to pay 80%, and you're supposed to pay 20%, right? Jesus is not writing insurance policies. He's neither the 80 nor the 20. You go to the doctor and you go to the hospital and you got your insurance you hope that I'm afraid the insurance company isn't going to come through and I'm going to owe $15,000 or something. Well, they always come through and they pay, 80%, and in a family that has that kind of insurance, then the family has to come up with the 20%. Well, Jesus didn't pay 80% on the cross. He paid 100% on the cross. And true biblical faith is desperate, knowing that it cannot do anything except trust wholly in Jesus alone for salvation. Now, why am I preaching this message? Because I believe that there are a lot of people who have never come to God with true faith. And it's, by the way, it's not your faith that saves you. No, it's not the faith that saves you. It's the object of your faith. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that faith is not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, it's not of works." You don't say, okay, now I have faith and Jesus has to save me. No, that's not biblical faith. You still have faith in your own faith. That's not what we're talking about here. The Bible is talking about total desperation and total dependence. Nothing less and nothing more. "Not the labors of my hands could fulfill thy law's demands," the hymn writer wrote, realizing his sinfulness before God, realizing that he could do nothing to impress God. "Could my zeal no respite, no, could my tears forever flow, all for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked I come to thee for dress, helpless, looking to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior,
or I die. That's desperation, and that's dependence, and that's biblical faith. Do you have biblical faith? That's my question to you today. If you do not, I hope that you see from this story and from this passage of Scripture that Jesus isn't in the insurance business. He wants to add a little bit to help you out. He is in the salvation business. You need to be totally desperate, knowing that you could do nothing to impress God, and that Jesus on the cross did everything to impress God, because there he satisfied the righteous demands of God against your sin and mine. And when you come to him in desperation, in dependence, and dependence, you have biblical faith. Do you have it? Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer. Examine your heart. Examine your soul. I'm not here to get anybody to doubt your salvation that you have. I'm here to encourage you to make your calling and election sure. Have you been desperate and dependent, helpless and hopeless, and yet resting in the wounds of Christ for your salvation? Boy or girl, mom or dad, teenager, do you have biblical faith? Lord, please open up our hearts. May we be honest with you. If there's one or more that has not truly put their confidence in Jesus alone because of personal soul desperation, bother that one until they run to Jesus. In Jesus' name.